Should you or should you not give your kids money? Does it make them weaker? Does it make them stronger? Does it make them entitled? Does it actually help them? Who knows, right? And so I want to talk about today whether we're going to actually give our kids money or not give them money. And we just got done filling out our estate plan and we had to make that decision. Do the kids get any of these assets? Do they get this real estate? Do they get any of this cash, homie? And so I'm going to tell you why I am not going to share with you right now, but I will share with you in the next couple minutes whether we're going to give our kids money or not. So without further ado, let's go. Welcome to the Everything Goes My Way podcast with your host, Logan Manzanets.
I just got done watching the interview that Patrick McDavid did with Papa John's. Yes, the Papa John's, the guy who created Papa John's, the big pizza franchise all across the world. And it was really cool to hear his story. If you haven't heard his story about how he actually got kicked out of his own company in, I think it was like 2016, 2017, it's a great podcast to go listen to. And the dude is lean, by the way. Like in all his commercials, if you remember him, he was like in all the football commercials, the Super Bowl ads, and he was kind of a chunky guy. And you see him now, he's like, he's got veins in his arms. He's like looking like really lean. And so I didn't know all this, but one of the things that was talked about in this podcast was about money and how much money he made. So like at the time that he got ousted out of Papa John's, the company was worth about $3 billion, right? So he was worth about $3 billion freaking dollars. How crazy is that? And so Patrick McDavid asked him about his money and what does he plan on doing with the money? And he's got three kids. And he asked him, he's like, well, are your kids going to get any money? And so I think this is a very hot topic with entrepreneurs who do have money. You know, do you give your kids money? Do you not give them money? And it was really cool to hear his perspective on it. And essentially, what he said was that they're not ready for any money, right? He's like, if I gave them $500 million, let alone $1 million, like they couldn't handle it. Like they would squander it. They don't know what to do with that money. And I think his oldest daughter was a lawyer. His youngest son was like he worked for like a gaming person. I can't remember what the middle kid did, but he's like you could tell that he was hoping that one day he would get some sort of inkling from his kids or some sort of message or see their productivity, their actions that, you know, they wanted to learn about money, that they wanted to learn the skill set so they could actually handle a lot of money. But at the moment, they were not close. That is what the message I got from him. So he's like, they're not getting any money until they have proven that they could handle that much money. And so it's really cool because we just got our estate plan and our will done recently. And so we had to go through this whole process of, you know, dividing up our assets and saying like who gets what, and, you know, saying here's like, if, you know, who gets the cash, who gets the real estate. And obviously this is something that will be continuing to get updated because we're very young. We're 34 years old. But it was cool to go through the process, right? And it was cool because we actually have assets. We have cash that we can actually, that we're actually talking about potentially passing on. And so one of the cool decisions we got to make was like, well, do our kids get any money? And if they don't get any money, then who does the money go to? Right. And so we divided up our assets. We actually gave our kids just assets. Right. So we didn't give them any cash. We're just giving them assets. And at that point, it's their job to be able to manage the assets. Right. So a couple other cool things we learned through this estate plan is you actually get to pick, like, when you come to your deathbed, and let's say that either Katie or I had already passed away. Right. Or we both passed away at the same time. Then who gets to make the decision whether someone's going to pull the plug on us or whether they're going to try to keep us alive, right? And so we get to make that decision. And so Kate and I both get to pick different people. And it was funny that neither of us picked our parents. We actually picked one of our friend tours, Dr. Kashi. I picked Dr. Kashi, and she picked Desiree Kashi, which is his wife, to be the people who make our health decisions, the people who we trust the most. So, yeah, very interesting. And then who's in charge of your kids? Right? Who's in charge of your kids? And so this was kind of a unique thing because our youngest daughter, Lainey, is both Katie and I's, but our oldest daughter, Kobe, is not my biological daughter. So we had to make kind of two different plans on what happens. And ultimately, even though we made the plan that my mom would be the one who gets our kids in a worst case scenario, most likely if we had to go to court, Kobe's dad would end up getting her. But we still put it in our plan that I would get her, or excuse me, that my mom would get her if both of us passed away. Another thing that we had to decide was, oh yeah, who's in charge of the money? Like if our so all of our assets were set to give to our kids once they reach the age of 25. So what happens if we pass away before the age of 25? We had to pick a I can't remember what the term is called right off the top of my head right now. But basically, the power of attorney, right? So who's actually in charge of the estate? And so initially, we actually picked one of our mentors, Alex and Layla, to be in charge of it. But then as we started thinking about it a little bit more, a lot of our stuff is local, so we actually picked one of our business partners who were very we have a very good relationship with on the business side and the personal side. And so he is our private attorney. So he's actually the one who controls all the money. He controls the assets. He does everything. So obviously our kids don't know how to run real estate at 20 years old. So he's actually going to be in charge of that and just to basically control it until the kids become 25. So those were some cool things that we had to decide upon. And just the act of going through it just makes you like make those decisions. Like, what do you stand for? Like, are you on the side of somebody who gives your kids money, or the side of who doesn't give your kids money? And ultimately, what we decide is we prefer to give them assets. So any cash that we have is actually going to a charity. And yeah, I mean, as we continue to grow, we'll obviously continue to update this estate plan, and that might change as we get on. And as our kids, as they get older, and we see that they either like are they grow up to be drug addicts, they grow up to be hookers, whatever it is, then of course I'm not gonna even get the assets. We'll take the assets out and we'll even get they won't get those. But if they show that they have business acumen and they are business minded and they're entrepreneurial and they're on a mission to like change the planet, well then by all means, like we'll give them the keys of the kingdom to make sure that they can continue to run and operate it and grow this thing as big as we possibly can. So highly sent it to you, right? So you get it all the done. Like this whole process probably took us 3 or 4 months to get it done. Let's go through so many different lawyers and you have to do so many iterations, you have to use certain questions. When it's all said and done, they send you this cute little binder that they typed up, everything's in there, and you gotta go get it notarized, right? So we went and got notarized, and now it just sits on a shelf. And they tell you to tell somebody to like tell your power of attorneys to know where it is. That way if you do pass away, then they can go do it, and that way everything that's in there can be executed. And so yeah, that's literally kind of how it's all set up. So it's kind of interesting. And so one of the big reasons that Katie and I decided not to give our kids any money is that I believe that it makes people weak. Like giving people things, especially money, it makes them weak. Instead, my philosophy is to teach them how to make money of their own. So ultimately, I want our kids to know, and I had a conversation with our oldest daughter, Kobe, yesterday or earlier this week, was that like this is our money, right? This is my mom. This is your mom and I's money. Like this is not your money, right? Until you're 18, you get the benefit of being inside our household, and because you're under our roof and our rules, well, you get the benefit. I get to pay for the groceries, right? You get to go on trips with us, but ultimately, like this is not your money. And so like if you actually want to make money, you want to go buy things, like you want to go buy Lulu, you want to go buy nice outfits for school, right? You want to buy candy, whatever you want to buy, like that is you do that with your money. So go learn how to make money. Ultimately, what that teaches them is that it empowers them to learn the skill how to make money. Because as you know, as being an entrepreneur, like it is a skill to learn how to make money. And most people don't have that. They want to go work for somebody else. They want somebody else to make the money and they just want to show up, right? And so going back to like trying to show value and give people the ability to learn how to make money, I think is so important. And so a big shtick I have is just giving people money without any expectation in return, right? And so I love to give people money when they don't expect it. When I see a homeless person, for example, who's out there begging, I have not ever given a homeless person money, and I will not ever give a homeless person money. Not because I don't have empathy, not because I don't have sympathy for their situation, but because I will not be the one who continues to make them weak. I will not be the one who continues to show them that they are not capable of actually going out there and producing income. Because, let me ask you this, if you actually went and offered that homeless person an opportunity to work for you, to earn money, to learn, do you think that they would take it? Like, truly, in your heart, do you think they'd actually take that opportunity? Of course not, right? And you know what? There is stories out there of people who get the, who got the opportunity. They're on a hard time, and they do take it. So I'm not saying that those people are not out there, but 99% of homeless people out there, the reason that they're still standing out there is because you keep giving them money. You keep keeping them weak because they know that some person has sympathy and empathy for them is right behind you. The person who doesn't give them money, there's another person right behind them who will give them money. And that's what keeps them weak. And I see that with kids as well, is that if you continue to give them money, you will make them weak because you don't empower them. You don't teach them. So that's my philosophy on giving money. And my goal is always to empower my kids. And we talked about money, but it comes to everything, like from like little things for with our 3-year-old, from like putting on her jacket, like Lainey, you do it. Putting on your shoes, you do it. Tie your shoes, you learn how to do it. Brushing your teeth, you do it, right? And so the more I can give her the empowerment to know that she can do it, then she doesn't need pops. She doesn't need me, right? And I think a lot of parents, they feel guilty because they think that's their job. They think it's their job is for their kids to be dependent on them. And they end up by making your kids dependent on you, you make them weak. And so the earlier you can make your kids independent of you, the stronger you'll make them. And you know what? They actually will appreciate you and be grateful for you more because, you know, after 18, they're sitting there like, oh my gosh, I don't have the skill sets to actually be valuable in the economy. I don't have the skill sets to be able to function as a normal adult without my mommy and daddy. And when you're able to do that at a really young age, again, you might think that you're losing your value to your kids, but really what you're doing is you're playing the long game. You're playing a relationship that you can build with your kids forever. Like, how many of you don't have relationships with your parents right now? Especially you are entrepreneurs because your parents are entrepreneurs, right? Because you don't have anything to talk about, right? Growth isn't a thing that you talk about with your parents because it wasn't something you grew up in. My goal is to have that be our, like, that's just how we live. Like, we live in a growth mindset. So when my kids are 20, 25, 30 years old, guess who they're coming for advice? They're coming to their papa. They're coming to their mama because we're still out there growing. We're still in the game. We're still playing, right? And so they actually can come to us for advice. They're like, hey, Pops, like, I just made $1 million. How do I get to $10 million? And I'm over here, you know, I've made a couple $100 million. And so I can actually guide them in the process. So that's my goal. That's why I'm not going to give my kids money, so I don't give homeless people money. That's why I truly, like, I care for people so much that I'm willing to do that hard conversation in the beginning to empower them and teach them and guide them to learn the skill set themselves. So if you got value from this, please share this with another entrepreneur. Share it with somebody who needs to hear it. If you like what you're hearing, follow this podcast, rate it, review it. Without further ado, I'm Logan Manzanares, and I'm out.